Welcome to today's conversations with John and Lisa, and we are in our kitchen. I bet people are noticing we have a completely different environment. So we have been in the process of a lot of transition, but we did not want to postpone any kind of videotaping, any type of recording, because this is a topic you're passionate about, and it's actually something
But before we get to the topic, this is the first podcast we've ever done from Tennessee.
It is Nashville. It is true.
Okay, Franklin. Are you gonna sing a country song, honey?
No. Okay. Are you?
No. But do you know what happens if you sing a country song backwards?
You know what? That's such an old joke. We're
you
not gonna
get it. Your dog back. Okay. Your girlfriend back. Your truck
All
back.
Right. Okay. Hey. Okay. So listen. Going back to what we're talking about. First of all, we are really excited. If people will rate the show, not John singing, rate the show, subscribe. It actually helps us get the Conversations podcast out there further. I want to read something. This is a great review from TN Buckeye 1010. Listen to this. He said, thank you, John, Lisa, and family. Your podcast helped us weather the storms of 2020, and keep helping us in 2021. My teenage son and daughter, listen to this, binged on Let's Talk About It with Sons and Daughters, as well as, Conversations. And I listened to Conversations daily until I had heard them all. Oh, my gosh.
Wow, that's really amazing.
We also made the decision to do several of the courses. Messenger X app. They can get on there. They can do the courses as a family. I cannot thank you enough for saying yes to God in obedience and service to Him and getting His messages out to the body of Christ. We all benefit from your words, your books, and courses. And now, of course, the app. God is using you, John Bevere, in a mighty way. Thank you.
Lisa Bevere, in a very mighty way.
Yeah, thank you.
And, you know, we just want you all to know that...
This is why we don't staple things. Look, see?
No. I'm actually on the page I need to be on. I know.
Okay.
So anyway, Lisa's trying to help me with my podcast notes.
John,
we do always want to say
like
that we realize that an entrustment has been given to us by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that our team, we are constantly reminding each other how important it is to walk in true, genuine humility, knowing that we can't help anyone in our own strength. Yeah. It's always by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God.
Which is one reason our team prays every single morning.
And one of the things, and this is the topic of discussion today, that we pray about every single morning is the lost. Mm-hmm. We want to see lost people saved.
Yeah.
And this is not only our passion, it should be every believer's passion because it is God our Father's passion.
But I think, John, okay, so I think there's a lot of people that want to see people get saved, but they don't even know what that looks like. Most people, I know they're very uncomfortable with sharing about Jesus. They're okay with bringing people to church, but they're uncomfortable. So talk to us about that.
Well, first of all, you've got to realize it's God's passion. Yeah. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The greatest gift, the greatest sacrifice, the most expensive gift God chose to give in order to reach lost people, in order to restore them back to Him. So as children, we are told to be imitators of God as dear children, correct?
Right.
So His passion should be our absolute passion. Sometimes you'll hear people say, but I don't have the gift of being an evangelist.
Oh, wait. So you don't have to have the gift?
So you don't need a gift because the Bible says that every believer in Christ, our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation.
Right.
To know that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. That's not just written to ministers. That's written to every single Christian. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Then you also have to realize that when Paul writes to Timothy, he's talking actually to a pastor. He said, do the work of an evangelist. So Timothy.
So is it only pastors that can do it?
So, yes, Timothy wasn't an evangelist.
I'm so sorry.
He wasn't a pastor. Yeah, we got a fly flying around here. But anyway.
I'm trying to kill it.
Timothy was a pastor, but yet Paul urges him, one of the last words that he writes, and says, do the work of an evangelist. So why is that? It's because every one of us should have God's heart and a passion for the lost. And when you really stop and think about it, Lisa, Jesus tells a parable that if a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, he leaves the 99 and goes after the lost. Now, the 99 represent those who are already saved. The lost is somebody who is is apart from God. If you look at Jesus, he talks about the parable of the lost coin. She's more concerned about that lost coin than she is all the other coins she has in her collection. If you look at the prodigal son, you look at the father's attitude when the son just repents and starts heading back. He starts running after him with gifts. So this is very clearly showing God's heart and passion for the lost is top priority.
Yeah.
So it's top priority over us being blessed, over us being happy, over us being, you know, having our needs met. I'm not saying God wants us happy, blessed, and having our needs met, but it supersedes everything.
Yeah, because people are the only thing you can take with you. Not finances, not houses, not jobs, none of those things. Okay, so John, you and I both got saved, and we're so thankful for it, through Campus Crusade for Christ.
Right.
It was, you had spiritual laws.
The
four spiritual laws. And you like had some questions, like who's on the throne of your life? Uh-oh, I'm on the throne. I need Jesus on the throne because I'm making a mess. It was kind of this, and again, it was super helpful, but what if somebody hasn't memorized those four spiritual laws? Is it something that can be organic?
I think it should be organic. Now, it cannot be accurately organic unless we have the Word of God in us.
So you're saying you can't just make up?
And yes, because this is why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved as a workman unto God who knows how to rightfully divide or interpret the word of truth. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there are people out there that they say, hey, all you have to do is pray a prayer. Just pray, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, because the Bible says you confess with your mouth, you're saved. Jesus, right? Jesus, you're saved. It says if you believe, you're saved. Well, they don't read all the scriptures that the Bible talks about in order to really enter into an authentic relationship. You have to repent. Now, you're not going to use the word.
And count some costs.
Right. Count the cost.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to use those words with an unbeliever. Yeah. You're going to make it in a way that he can understand. I know the way I do it frequently is I said, well, the relationship between God and us is like a groom and a bride. And I said, a bride has to make a decision. She's leaving all old boyfriends before she enters into a covenant relationship with her groom. Well, that's a way of talking about repentance without using the word repentance.
Right.
Because repentance sounds very religious. Now,
or just maybe unfamiliar to people.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And so I think what happens is, Lisa, people, first of all, get very nervous to share their faith because they fear they're going to be rejected. I had to address that myself. What is better, that I get rejected or that a person who is right now heading to an eternity separated from God is going to miss out on hearing the gospel?
Do you think it's that they're afraid of being rejected or they're actually so aware of the weight of that eternal balance that they're afraid if they don't do it right, the person might not hear it and reject? Because I think that both might play in.
I think some people
are of personal rejection and other people are afraid that they won't handle it right and the person will reject the gospel.
Right, and I think both play into it.
I do too.
But I think one of the most important things is, now sometimes the Holy Spirit will prompt us to share with somebody we don't know. Mm-hmm. But one of the most important things is to show a person you care about them first.
Right.
So if you're in, you know, I remember you and I were walking on the beach one night and a guy came up and just started preaching to us. And do you remember that?
No.
We were in Vero Beach, Florida, and I just said, man, I really appreciate you sharing. We both know Jesus, and we're both in the ministry. And, you know, that's all we said. And he was like, oh, and then we started talking about the things of God. But I was like, I thought, man, if I was unsaved, and this guy just started walking up and talking to me without asking, hey, nice to meet you. Are you married?
Like,
or do you have children?
You
know, maybe a few things to show that I personally care about you before you jump right into the gospel. That to me is always important. So if I'm on a plane and I really feel the Holy Spirit prompting me to talk to somebody, I'm first of all going to start asking, oh, what do you do?
Right.
Are you married? Do you have children?
Find their needs place.
Yeah. And find a needy place and try to come in from there. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's so, so important is that you're never going to get somebody to come to Jesus without faith.
And okay, so you're not talking about the other person's faith. You're talking about the person my faith. Witnessing's faith. Okay.
So I want to tell you a story. Like 14 years ago, went to a really big church that we both know, the church in San Bernardino, California.
Beautiful pastors.
Yes, Pastor Jim Cobray, and he since has passed on the church to his son-in-law, Dan Roth. Well, you know, they had a 17,000-member church, Lisa, when I went there, and I'd already been in the ministry for over 15 years. And I remember they had four Sunday services, and we saw like 60 people get saved. Well, Lisa, I was so excited. And I happened to stay because I thought, this man's amazing. I want to spend an extra day with him. So I spent an extra day. We went and played golf an hour away, and we were coming back. Now I'm actually a little perturbed at him because I'm thinking, you know, we saw 60 people get saved, give their lives to Jesus this weekend, and you haven't said one word about it. So I finally said, you know, Jim, you haven't said anything about the 60 people that got saved. And he very humbly and sincerely said, John, that's really a low weekend for us. Wow. I said, excuse me? He said, well, we normally see between 200 and 250 people saved every weekend.
Wow.
I said, I am all ears.
Yes.
And we have another 45 minutes.
Let's
I'm a student.
About.
Please teach me.
Yep.
What in the world am I doing wrong? Well, first thing he said to me is he said, you know, most people, when they go to get somebody saved, they do it hoping they'll get saved. He said, John, the just shall live by faith, which means everything in our life, we have to believe God. Mm-hmm. And I had previously had the Holy Spirit confront me in prayer, Lisa, because he said, why do you hope that my presence will manifest when you pray or you pray with people? And I said, I was confused. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I said, draw near to God.
Yeah.
And I will draw near to you. He didn't say I might.
Doesn't matter how you feel about it. Yeah.
And exactly. He went, the reason you're a hit and miss is because you don't do this in faith. So immediately my mind went to that. And I thought, I remember the Lord confronting me about that with his presence.
Yeah, does it mean the same thing? Is it applicable to evangelism?
So that statement hit me. Now, he spent 40 minutes sharing with me how he tells his people, you bring the lost to service, and I will spend at least 10, usually 15 minutes every service to lead them to Jesus.
Wow.
And then he explained to me how he did it and the basis, the Word of God, the Scriptures. But what really stood out to me was that I realized every altar call I gave, every time I witnessed to somebody, I hoped, which it wasn't the biblical hope, it's the maybe-so hope, our English, our modern day.
I hope this works out.
It might not,
but it's not anchoring anything. It's a big drift thing. Okay.
Yep. So, no kidding. He had a teaching. I listened to that teaching, I think a couple times. I studied everything out.
You patterned the Athabel, end of the Athabel for
I
after
absolutely
it. Yeah,
did.
Yeah, because you wanted it to be so compelling and precise. I remember that.
Jim will not know until eternity how big of an impact he had on my life. And so the next year, I went to some of the same churches I had always gone to before. And Lisa, I mentally took note, because you know I'm really good with numbers
right,
and all.
Right. Right.
I remembered how many people got saved. In almost every single church I went to, I saw as many as 3 times to 4 times the amount of people getting saved. We started seeing 400 people respond to altar calls.
I want to just do clarity here. It wasn't because you made it more seeker sensitive, was it?
No. I actually was, because of after listening to Jim,
yes.
I even got stronger.
Right.
And
right.
more confronting on the appeal of, hey,
because
this
really
is not just praying
that,
a prayer.
Yeah, this is right. This is I'm turning from darkness in every dark way in my life and walking into a whole way of new life.
And I'm giving my entire heart and life, just like a bride does when she gets married,
spirit, soul, and
to
body.
Jesus.
Yep.
So I believe that there are a lot of people that when they're witnessing, they're hoping, oh gosh, I hope they're listening and I hope they're hearing what I'm saying. So the two things that you just said, that we just said, number one, you've got to have the Word of God in you.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The second thing is you got to do it in faith.
But wait a minute, what if the people are listening? They're like, John, maybe I don't have enough word in me. Well, I mean, I just want them to hear it. Like, you can know the scriptures that are concerning salvation. And then also, John, if it's a one-on-one, what I find people respond to the best for me is my testimony.
Correct.
What I went through, how God rescued me in different areas of my life, whether it's eating disorders, whether he's done things in our marriage. When I can, you're talking about that need place, that place of that person where they've come to an end of themselves and they need the God factor. I find if I can share or be a witness of what Jesus has done or who he is to me in an area of my life, and then I talk the overarching lordship, I find that people are much more receptive.
You know, and that's something that I will do too, because people always relate to personal testimonies.
And usually you've done that during your sermon, but I'm talking about people that maybe they're not, you know, they're not on a platform. They're not doing a mass prayer. It's not about numbers. It's not about how many. It's about that one-on-one. It's that neighborhood.
No, what neighborhood I was referring to is I always tell people how I got saved.
No, I absolutely.
So I just say, hey, I was this wild college fraternity guy, and one of my fraternity brothers, I said my whole life was athletics, and he was one of the best athletes in the state of Indiana, came to my fraternity room, presented Campus Crusade. I really didn't get a lot out of the Campus Crusade for spiritual loss. Now, don't get me wrong. I got a lot out of it.
No, the strongest connection was
the strongest connection is when he looked at me.
Witnessing to you.
He looked. No. He said to me, he could see that I was a Catholic guy, and that I was going to midnight mass drunk and coming back to the fraternity party because he was my fraternity brother.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have to get up and go to Catholic mass with a hangover the next day.
He knew you were going through the motions.
So what he knew that I was religious. And he thought of a way of sharing with me, a way of exposing how my religion wasn't working. That's when he said to me, can you tell me about the President of the United States? And I went, well, yeah, he's Jimmy Carter, his wife's Rosalind, he's a peanut farmer.
Yep.
And then he said, can you tell me about Jesus? I said, born of a virgin, died on a cross, 12 apostles, all the things I learned in Catholic Church, right? He goes, do you know President Carter like you know your mother? And I said, no. He said, explain. What's the difference? I said, I've never met him. He said, so you have a personal relationship with your mother. You know her intimately. You've never met the president, even though you know all about him. I said, yeah. He said, do you know Jesus like you know your mother? And my jaw dropped. And I went, what? He said, John, God didn't create...
You didn't even know that was a possibility.
No. Yeah. He said, God didn't create you to go to a mass or go to any other service or church or anything to just do ritualistic ways of showing that you honored him.
Right.
He created you because he wants a relationship. Right. Well, now, when he says that, all the four spiritual laws started making sense to me.
Right.
Up till that point, they didn't. So I share that with people a lot of times.
Yeah.
I feel the Holy Spirit just prompts me. And what that does is they go, whoa, really? He wants to know me intimately?
Yeah.
That opens the door to, now, the only way you can do that is like a husband and a wife getting married. You know, there's a decision made. If a husband and wife want to be the closest two people on earth to each other, right, they have to make a decision. I'm going to break up my boyfriends. I'm going to give myself entirely.
I'm break up with my girlfriends.
Yep.
It has to be both.
Yeah, it has to be both, right. So, and we're always the bride. That's why I said boyfriends.
Yeah, I know.
So, Lisa, I think that number one, just start getting a passion for the lost.
And I want to pause here, because what if somebody says, well, I don't know if I have that passion. Then know that God has that passion for the lost. So,
well, you know, our producer put in the notes, remind what you did. Not remind, but she mentioned something I did. Our staff wasn't praying passionately enough about the lost. And one day I said to them, I want you guys to take 90 seconds over the next 5 days, just 90 seconds. And I want you to think about burning in fire forever. Never, ever getting out, being in so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face, and having worms eating you nonstop because the worm never dies. I said, that is where that lost person is going. Well, and I said, if you do this for the next 5 days for 90 seconds, when you pray, you're going to pray with passion. And they started praying with passion.
Our team prays with incredible passion.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yes, they do.
I would rather pray with our team than anybody. But Lisa, it's something that they grew into. We all grew into. I didn't pray fervently when I first started praying. it's something I had to grow into. Our entire team did the same thing. And everybody listening to us right now, you can grow into becoming a person who prays fervently,
right?
Because that's an effective prayer.
Yeah, and you don't have to be a theological expert to witness about Jesus. Hey, John, I'm going to highlight three things that we've got here that people can do that will actually cultivate the passion. First of all, pray for the lost people by name.
That's very good.
So whether it's your brother, your mother, your sister, your neighbor, let's call them, let's lift them up to the throne room by name. And sometimes we want to do that prayer time ahead of time because that begins to soften their hearts. It begins to change circumstances. So pray for them by name. Number two, this is what you just talked about it. Spend time imagining the realities of heaven and hell each and every day. Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. Am I correct?
Two times as much.
Two times as much. Okay, number three. Ask God to open doors of opportunity to share the gospel. So
Just be ready.
Don't force them. Just believe that God's going to give you, God's going to give you organic opportunities to share the gospel. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared. So it's an always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. This is not a defense like an attorney arguing. It's saying, I'm going to defend that Jesus is a real master and Lord, and he's transformed my life.
So good.
All right. Well, John, this is something we could talk on for a long time, and I actually think it might be a really great thing to just continue to weave into some of our regular podcasts so that this is always before people. And I am going to tell you this. When you pray for that first person to get saved.
There's nothing like it.
Exactly. That obedience,
the joy,
and sensitivity and seeing people come into the kingdom, it actually will spill over. And then the first one's the hard one.
Yeah.
Then it gets beautiful. But don't be the weird person on the beach. Don't let John warn you. Okay, so first, we want to thank you for tuning into Conversation. Please, please, please remember to rate, review, subscribe to the show. When you do that, it actually helps us get the message out to even more people. And if you haven't already, don't forget to download the Messenger X app. I mean, why would you not have done that already? It is free, and we have course things right now where you can take a group through. So you could be doing a Beta Satan course. You could be doing the I Am course, helping your teenagers learn about their identity, knowing what's going on with that. You could be doing Mothers of Men, whatever you could do. So it's the perfect way to just start discipling the people in your world. So let's get them saved. Then let's hit that place, whether it's marriage, kids, whatever it is, identity, and you can share that course with them. So until next time, this has been Conversations with John and Lisa. I almost said Lisa and John, but John and Lisa.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with John and Lisa. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review. You can subscribe and share these episodes through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows in the Messenger Podcast Network, including The Godmother with Lisa Bevere, Let's Talk About It with Sons and Daughters, and The Messenger Podcast. You can also connect with John and Lisa through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And don't forget, you can download the Messenger X app today in the App Store. Until next time.